to Karen Yashin. Hello, Yash.
How you doing, Pam?
I'm doing pretty well. And you?
Really, really well, I guess. I'm here and ready to go. It's pretty cold out. Pretty cold.
Is it still chilly out there?
Windy and very chilly. Very. Yeah.
I bet it's windier out in the flats, too. I'm not seeing much wind here. Oh, yeah, I lied.
Yeah, it's breezy.
Yeah. See more.
I mean, I could have used a real jacket today.
Yeah, you know, I actually thought about that. As I left my house this morning, I thought, I wonder if I should grab that little puffy thing over there instead of my usual whatever.
I think we have a few days of this, and then maybe spring will be back, I hope.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is spring. This is Kodiak spring, really.
It's going to kill the crocus maybe, but maybe not. We'll see.
I hope not. Yeah. A lot of them had already come up and bloomed.
Yeah, the library looks beautiful. Yeah. So I'm hoping they survive.
So Karen Yashin, how long have you been in Kodiak altogether?
Oh, okay. Well, I only came to Kodiak, I believe it was 78, 79.
Only?
Yeah, well, I came to Alaska before
like
that.
40
well,
years ago, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, there's the Alaska trip, and then there's the Kodiak portion.
Oh, okay.
So the Kodiak portion, so this was our home from 78, 79.
Okay.
Well, we were in, yeah. But we can start from the beginning and work our way towards the end.
You think?
Yeah.
We should
I got my
that?
Notes, man. I got my notes. They're linear.
I was just going to say, oh, no, it's Foreman. She's going to take me in a circular
conversation. They're linear. Well, this goes a little circle-like, but it starts at the beginning.
All right. So starting at the beginning.
Yeah, so starting at the beginning in the summer of 74, I lived in Saranac Lake in the Adirondacks, and that was going to be my home. I loved it there, and I was never going to leave. But
is that where you grew up?
No, I grew up in Long Island, New York.
Okay.
And I moved to the Adirondacks after high school, and I sort of made it my home, and I went to community college there. And then I was starting to think about going on for my teaching degree.
Mm-hmm.
So all those thoughts were going on, and then it was the summer before I was supposed to start my teaching degree at SUNY Geneseo, which is near Rochester, New York.
Okay.
And some people that I knew from Saranac Lake had been to Alaska, had spent a lot of time in Alaska, and were tasked with bringing a fire truck to Anchor Point from New York. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. So six of us drove in a fire engine and a school bus up that very unpaved Alcan in 1974.
Man.
Yeah, it was a very dusty trip.
Dusty, bumpy, everything else.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I think what happened was Lake Placid, where the Olympics were, which is 10 miles from Saranac, they had an old fire truck because they just purchased a new one. And I don't know how fire departments do whatever, but they were either giving it away or they just had to get it there. And so these New York people said, great, we'll drive it up, you know.
Cool.
And, yeah. So it was six of us in a fire engine. I got to drive in the fire engine. And the school
Did you
bus.
Actually get to drive it?
No, I'm a terrible driver. You don't want me driving. No. Yeah, I can tell you that part of the trip when we get to it.
Only
car accident we had on the trip, and it was me driving. Yeah.
All right, so you didn't drive the fire truck,
no,
but you
I
got
was
to
just
ride
a passenger,
the fire truck.
There were six, and we dropped that off at Anchor Point.
How many miles a day did you make in a fire truck and a school bus?
I know the miles that we made on the final trip, but I don't know the miles on this one because it was...
It must have taken quite a while.
It was a, I'm sure...
From New York?
From the Adirondacks, yeah. We left from the Adirondacks, and so,
Do
you
have
know,
any
that's,
idea? Was it 2 weeks? Was it...
You know, I would venture to say it was definitely over a week,
but I don't
think it was much. We did some driving.
Yeah, I bet.
We really did. And, you know, we're right by the Montreal border there, Saranac, so you're about an hour from Montreal, so we went up that way.
Okay, and then came across.
And then went across up, and that was the first time in my life I ever woke up in 2 inches of water in a tent at a campground because it was that hard-packed and flat and rained and rained and...
I bet that wasn't the last time you ever woke up to that, was it?
Well, it was one of the last times I ever was in a tent. That kind of did it for me.
In 74?
Nothing.
Seriously?
Oh, Volkswagen vans?
Oh, well, yeah.
Story of my life.
Yeah, no, smart.
Yeah, you can
smart.
Keep me out of a wet down is no fun.
No, that's true.
No fun.
That is
but,
very true.
I don't remember a lot of the actual getting to Anchor Point and Homer on that trip because it was just miles and like that song Miles and Miles of Texas.
Yeah, yeah.
It was miles and miles of Canada.
I'll bet.
I mean, just horribly
flat, there's
Texas.
Long distance prairie land out there. Yeah.
You really had to check for where you're getting your gas and where you're getting your food. And, you know, I mean, what was that big book called?
The Milepost.
Yes. That was your Bible.
Yes, it was. We were talking about that earlier today.
Yeah, absolutely. The Bible.
Today, you can, you know, dial up something on the internet or whatever,
sure.
But not back then.
Back then, you had no clue without that book. That book was a lifesaver in more ways than one.
Get your gas now or you're out of luck, buddy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Could be 200 miles.
Yeah.
But we left the fire truck in Anchor Point, and then the rest of us and two people that lived there, and the rest of us went down to Homer. And I know a lot of people here must know the Homer Spit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if they're there anymore. There were two houses on the left as you go on to the spit. The spit's quite built up from where it was years ago, the first time I was there. But when you first got onto the spit on the left, there were two, like, shacky houses.
Okay.
And then the spit and camping on the right, and then the Land's End and Salty Dog and all that. Those two houses belong to those people from New York.
Okay.
And so that's where I first stayed on the spit.
Ah, nice.
With them, and got a job at a restaurant working.
And so how long did you stay in Homer?
For the summer. And I wanted to stay forever.
This was summer of 74.
Yep, before I finished my college degree, my bachelor's. And I was kind of making noise about not
going back
to school and just waiting a year.
Mm-hmm. Which never works.
Rarely works. And I didn't live with my parents, but all of a sudden I get that your dad's having a heart attack letter and it's your fault. And if he dies while you're gone, you'll never forgive yourself. I couldn't believe my aunt wrote that to me, but she did.
She did.
And I said,
Totally guilted me into going back.
And finishing school. But otherwise, I'm not sure I would have left Homer, ever.
Yeah.
I might have stayed there forever.
Well, lucky for us, you went back and finished school.
We hope it's lucky.
I would say 40 years of you here in Kodiak. It's been pretty good.
I've enjoyed it. So that was that, and it was only the first time ever I flew a very large plane home by myself. And it wasn't what we fly now. It was one of those wide-bodied, huge things with the big movie screens and...
And it was a whole different experience, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was something. I remember flying when I was a kid. Well, not a kid, but probably in, middle school age.
Yeah.
And for the first time, flying down to Florida from Minnesota. And it was, you dressed up. You wore nice clothes.
Back in the 50s.
You know?
Yeah, you did.
I wasn't 60s? In the 50s. In the 60s.
60s, you still did.
Yes.
But
you
by the
70s, nice clothes,
not really.
No, yeah. By then, it was kind of,
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was
But
a
it was still
experience.
Considered, they served us champagne and the big movie screen, and they all wanted to make you happy, and you could walk around and visit and not get a,
Whacked.
Stiff as a board. But, it was last time I was on a plane that big. First and last.
Was that a Pan Am plane, do you think?
I'm pretty sure it was.
Yeah.
It was probably a DC something.
Those
huge.
Must have been...
I mean, the
Something
kind that
else.
Have, a dozen seats across the middle,
yeah.
like movie theater, and then still have your left and right window aisle. Just huge. And first class was huge.
Yeah. So this was how you got back to New York.
It's how I got back to New York and then visited my family and then packed up and went to
and
school.
Made sure your dad was okay,
yeah,
right?
I was ticked. I was really, you're kidding me. I really expected to find him in the hospital or something at that point. But
and he was fine.
Yeah, he couldn't kidnap me, so that was their way of getting me back home. Yeah, you had to be trickier than they were.
Well.
So, and I wasn't, apparently.
Apparently not. Not yet,
I should
anyway.
Have sent somebody over there to check out what was going on. But, I went to school and then went back to Saranac Lake, because that's where I wanted to live forever. And another road trip with friends was coming up, and I had always had this dream of going to Oregon. And just going cross-country to Oregon. I wanted to make
visit
it,
or to live?
To visit and check it out and make
Maybe
my
live.
Mind up from there.
Okay.
And so we caravanned, a couple of us in VW vans and stuff, and we stopped in Colorado because that's where some of the people had to get out and had relatives and stuff. And I got stuck in Colorado, which is where I met Dave.
Oh, you didn't meet here.
No,
you met out there.
We did not meet here. I met, and that's how this whole story goes of my getting back here. So anyway, I met Dave, and which is a very funny story because...
Well, tell us.
Well, I met Dave in a beer bar.
Not a bar bar, a beer bar.
It only served 3-2 beer.
Ooh, not even real beer.
Yeah, 3-2 Colorado Ooh. Beer in Fort Collins. And Dave came in every day after work for a beer before he drove home, which was 30 miles up to Poudre Canyon. And Poudre Canyon, P-O-U-D-R-E, Poudre.
Poudre Canyon?
Poudre Canyon.
Where is that?
North of Fort Collins, I believe,
okay.
or somewhere around Fort. It was 30 miles outside of Fort Collins.
Okay.
He had a cabin up there. He lived with other people. And I had heard of this bluegrass dancing joint called Mishawaka,
huh.
and I wanted to go there.
Okay.
Everybody said it was a lot of fun, but it was up there by Dave. And so the bartender said, well, Dave comes in. He's a nice guy, you know. I'm sure he'll take you up there. It's only a couple miles past his cabin. I'm sure he'd give you a ride there.
So you didn't have wheels?
I didn't have wheels.
Okay.
No. Cracked up a couple cars in New York, and that's the last wheels I had for a long time, till Dave. Everything is till Dave.
Till Dave.
Yeah. And then, so he took me up there, but funny story, kinda. He had to stop at the cabin to get his wallet. So then I started freaking out, thinking I got this serial killer on my hands.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
And if you saw the road to his cabin...
I'd know why.
You would think there's no cabin up here because nobody's driving up and down this road.
He's taking you out into the boondocks.
So I was kind of a little freaked out, but I told him the story later, you know, after I knew he was normal. But
well,
and maybe that's
only,
not true.
Only as normal as human gets.
Only as normal as human gets. But but he took me to Mishawaka, and darned if we didn't walk in, and I knew the people that owned it from high school. And
you're kidding.
I am not kidding you. I walked in, and they went, Yashin.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here? And I went, you've got to be kidding me. I hadn't seen them in years. They're people I graduated high school with.
Wow.
From Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
That through their various...
They ended up in...
Ended up and bought this place and ran this bluegrass dancing place. So that was just bizarre.
That is bizarre.
You know, it was our first date, but it wasn't a date. It was just we knew each other. But anyway, so long story short, you know, we became serious, kind of. And serious enough to continue dating. And his neighbor, a guy named Mike Busby, had a gold mining place in Chicken, Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
And a cabin.
That's back in my old stomping ground.
Oh, is it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, they had a gold mining place that they gold mined every summer. And they also had a cabin in Homer way out East End Road.
Okay.
And he suggested, because I kept trying to get Dave up to Alaska because he hadn't been, and I wanted to come back.
Yeah.
And so he was... We were poor in Colorado. There were no teaching jobs, and he wasn't even with the union yet, so he couldn't get union jobs, and things weren't working out for us financially. And I said, let's just go for the summer. We'll make a little money, and then when we come back, because we had to move from the cabin because his partners wanted their year at the cabin,
mm-hmm.
so we had to move, and I figured, oh, let's just go.
Sure.
Come on, it's a great time to go. And so we caravaned with his friend and his wife, up to Homer,
mm-hmm.
and got here with like $50 between us and a $250 truck payment due in 2 weeks.
Ooh.
Yeah, so things were tight. So lucky for us, you know, we stayed free in the cabin, and Mike and his wife went to the gold mining place, and Dave got a construction job in Homer, and I worked restaurants, and I worked out at Land's End and the waterfront, Red's Waterfront Bar and Grill.
I don't remember where that is.
That's
but...
close, that's in town.
Okay.
In town. And I worked, and I spent a lot of time at the Salty Dog.
Oh, yeah.
And I worked at some little ice cream joint on the left before the Salty Dog. It was a hamburger and ice cream. I forgot what it was called. Worked there for a little while. And which brings me to one of the
Did you
songs.
Make your $250?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, we
You made your truck payment.
We made the truck payment, and it was very tight. And there was one construction job left, and nobody took it because it was only $5 an hour, and they were all union people and wouldn't take
sure,
it.
Sure.
But Dave took it, and 2 weeks later, they gave him a raise to $12.
Ah, there you go.
So our motto is, you take the job.
Yep, take the job.
Take the job.
You never know what's going to come up.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So at that time, I don't know if you're ready for a song.
Sure.
But Doobie Brothers was on the jukebox at the Salty Dog, and song played over...
And over
and over.
Because we all loved it until it played over and over and over.
It played over and over and over. And then, you know, it became a joke. If I put a quarter in, I was like, in trouble.
Don't play that song anymore,
but here it is, Blackwater.
Bum, bum. It's a great tune, though.
It is.
Really.
Yeah, I still love it, actually.
It is a great tune. Oh, there it is. I forget. It's got that little tinkly start.
Yeah.
All right. We'll shut up and listen.
Jump in that paddle wheel, bump in black water, keep rolling on fast just the same. Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Yeah, keep on.
Some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
By the hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
By the hand, take me by the hand, pretty mama, come and dance with your daddy all night long.
I like to hear some funky Dixieland, pretty mama, come and take me by the hand.
We had that appropriately cranked up here in the studio. I hope you did at home, too.
Yeah, I was telling Pam while it was playing that when I went to Colorado and met Dave, it was all bluegrass and country and Willie and Waylon and...
The boys.
And I was like, oh, my God, I'm just dying for some Jimmy and Janice and Doors, because that's what I was weaned on in my teens and early 20s. And they really taught me to appreciate it, and so by the time I hit the Doobie Brothers' Black Water, I was so into it.
Thanks, Kavitha.
Totally into it, and it went from there. So now I have a, I'm a little more eclectic in my taste than I was.
Well, yeah. But I think traveling is good for that, actually,
it's
don't
great
you?
For that, yeah.
Yeah, in all kinds of things. Taste yeah. in music, taste in food, yeah. understanding other cultures, yeah,
I really enjoyed that Manila song. I thought that was
good.
Upbeat.
Is
it? Yeah,
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yeah,
so
it was fun to listen to.
Yeah, so we were talking about the dates, and it was the summer of 77.
That you
I
went
think
to
that
Homer.
Dave and I yeah. went to Homer, and then after we did whatever we did there in the summer, we wound up in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go to Anchorage to interview. I was trying out for some teaching jobs, interviewing, and so there were a few that I interviewed for, and things weren't working out yet, and we were thinking, well, we might go back
to in Colorado the fall. Or Homer?
To Colorado, I
oh,
think.
Yeah?
We were because I, yeah, there were some, I might have a few things off the charts here for what was happening. By the time I got to Colorado, I started a master's program in Greeley that I forgot to mention.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I kind of hopped around in the summer between school,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to, again, drop out and not go if I got a teaching job, but I didn't. So I said, well, we ought to get back
so you
for me to go.
Degree.
Yeah, to go to Greeley. And, well, I had my bachelor's, but I was thinking of going for a master's
sure.
at that point. So anyway, but lo and behold, a Kodiak friend who was teaching down here, and I knew her from Colorado.
Oh.
She's a New Yorker I met in Colorado.
Weird.
And
small
she,
world.
She, yeah, she was here for a while and mentioned my name to Noreen Thompson.
Oh, somebody else mentioned Noreen Thompson today.
Did they really? Well,
yes.
Noreen, we're thinking of you.
There
Noreen
you
gave
go.
Me my break. She,
cool.
I came down to interview with her, and... the job that they want, we're waiting for a grant for a resource person here
mm-hmm.
in town, but that grant fell through. They asked me if I wanted to go teach in Old Harbor, and I said yes.
Oh, I guess
yeah.
I didn't connect the dots that you
yeah.
taught in Old Harbor.
I did for a year, and then Larson Bay for five, which is where I met Jenny Stevens.
Oh,
in
there
Larson
you go,
Bay.
Because she was teaching down there,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, she came actually after I was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So did Dave go to Old Harbor with you?
No, that was a tough year. He stayed working in Anchorage.
Oh, yeah.
And I stayed in Old Harbor, and I didn't start till October.
Oh,
so it was
got
one
a late
of those
start.
Late
oh.
start where they had some money for an extra position because of the number of kids and blah,
sure.
blah. So I always felt sort of a little discombobulated, and I
so
lived in the school.
This would have been 78-ish, 79,
yeah, it would have been the
there.
Fall of 77, I think.
Okay. So
and
right after.
77,
your,
78
okay.
was that first school year.
Okay.
Yeah. And there were some things that happened that were sad that year, a couple mm. of kids accidentally died mm. and you know just and
that's tough
first year teaching and being by yourself and but the community was so good to me. I mean the kids were just wonderful and of course I chose that year living by myself to read Stephen King's The Stand.
Oh,
I don't
gee.
Know what I was thinking. I couldn't sleep without a light on for weeks. It was insane. But
and in a big empty, well, not big, but an empty school building by
well,
yourself?
Well,
it,
there was another
there?
Apartment. There were two apartments,
oh, okay.
and my apartment was used for kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so the bedroom was mine.
Okay.
But during the day, it was kindergarten. Used everything but my bedroom. So, you know, if I got sick, it was kind of a noisy way to be sick if
oh.
I was had a sick day. But the principal lived in the other apartment.
Okay.
So I was never totally alone, but I was on the other end of the hall. So
creepy
yeah.
to be reading this.
You
stand.
Know, and then I'd have some of my kids throw little stones at the window at night just to say hi, and you know, so I was a little jumpy. But but at the end of that year, I asked for a transfer to Larson Bay because they were building a school,
mm-hmm.
and Dave thought he could get on construction.
Sure.
And that's what
Did
happened.
He?
Yes.
Oh, good.
So that was great. So.
So you were there when the school just. Opened.
When they were starting it.
Yeah.
When they were building. So we were in the old school that whole first year.
Okay.
And the new school was huge. You know, big gym and some nice classrooms and a kitchen and Voc Tech and all that stuff. It was
yeah,
nice.
Very different than yeah. what they'd had before.
Yeah, because it was just a three little room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was smaller
than
Kamek.
So how many
Kamek
teachers? Well, when we're in Larson Bay.
My first year, it was a teaching couple, and then I was the third teacher.
Okay.
And then I think the next year we got another teacher, and Jim Pryor taught out there before me.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and then by the time, and then Jenny came out, so And then Ginny and Dewey, who you guys don't know, but they taught in this district for a while out in the villages. I think for there were, somebody might correct me, but I think we had five teachers at one point.
Okay.
There was a point where that school had lots of kids, and things were really rolling out there. And then, I don't know whether, you know, there were just fewer kids coming up or more kids. I don't know what happened, but obviously right now it's very, very, very low.
Yeah, it's pretty small right now.
Yeah, yeah. So when we were there, I think it was the heyday.
Probably.
The highlight.
Probably. More families there maybe and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, just all the little kids were growing up and we needed room for them to have high school teachers and that kind of thing. So,
what grade did you teach?
I taught K-3.
Okay.
And for 5 years. And then I did home ec.
What?
Home economics. I had to go in the summertime.
What? Did I hear that right?
Yes.
Did I hear that right?
I had somebody teach me how to sew in the summer so I could go and do placemats. And bathrobes.
Bathrobes? That's actually quite a challenge.
Well, I learned
sleeves and stuff.
Uh-huh. I started with placemats. The kids all had to make placemats just to learn how to sew. And then we went on to the McCall's beginning patterns.
You weren't teaching K-3 to do bathrobes, were you?
No, I did K-3, and then I had to take an extra something.
Gotcha.
And so I did home ec this year. So home ec, I had to do sewing and I had to do cooking. And I'm not a good cook and I don't know how to sew. But I learned enough to teach the class.
Hence my laughter,
yeah, right? Exactly. I know. I learned enough to teach the class. And one of my boys, he still lives in town here. I love him dearly, Moses Malutin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mosey made the bathrobe. And for years, he talked about that bathrobe. And then last time I saw him, he goes, you know, I don't know what happened to it. Somewhere along his travels, it disappeared.
It went away.
It went away. But he, you know, he made it and it was great.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, and we had some wonderful, he's not here anymore, a butcher that used to work, I don't know whether it was at Safeway years ago.
Or City Market, maybe?
Maybe City Market, but really nice guy. He came out to do a whole class on, you know, butchering deer properly.
Nice.
The whole, you know.
So how to cut it so you get a nice
for the
roast
kids.
And you get a whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so we did, so when we did cooking, we did that. We tried to make things practical. You
makes
know,
sense.
We weren't, yeah. So I actually enjoyed that class.
I bet.
But it stressed me out because I was one step ahead of the kids. And I mean one step. So 5 years out there.
Nice. And what brought you back to Kodiak then?
Well, then Dave had, after the school was built, and he did some odd jobs around the community, and then he went to Terror Lake.
Right.
So we had to make a decision. Whether, you know, we don't have kids, and so that wasn't part of the decision, but we didn't like being apart.
Yeah.
And so we decided that after doing that for a year, we just didn't want to do that anymore, and that he needed to be able to find work that wasn't away.
Right.
Because he'd be gone a few weeks, and then he'd fly in, and I had a great understanding, and this is only a tiny little bit, a couple of weeks gone, and then, you know, home for a few days. But it really gave me a greater understanding of what Fisher families go through and Coast Guard.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know, because if you've got kids, too, it's just that coming
imagine.
And going, the stress, the up and down, and the ins and outs of it are just crazy.
It's tough on the entire family.
It really is, unless you really get a rhythm and you kind of like it and you know what you're doing.
Yep.
But it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
I didn't like it. And I wanted it to stop.
So you figured out
so
a way to make
I asked
it stop.
For a transfer to town.
Okay.
And I wasn't sure I was going to get it, so we went back to Homer.
Oh, you did?
We went back to Homer just to buy land so that I had a backup plan.
Okay.
That if I wasn't going to get the job in town, then we were moving to Homer.
So now do you still have land at Homer?
We sold it because I got the job in town. Yeah, that was a crazy, it was a nice couple of acres, but it wasn't nice enough to keep me from my job here. And so I got the job, and that was at Peterson.
I was going to say, you were at Peterson the rest of your career, weren't you?
27 years, yeah, the rest of my career.
And did you stick with one grade the whole time?
No, I started in the resource room because I have a special ed degree. And so I was in there for a few years, and then my goal was to get to second grade. So I did, Christy Wall and I did half a day, and I think it was third grade one time, and I did half a year a couple times, and you really have to have the right partner for that, or you know,
yeah,
it's not
it wouldn't
quite
work.
As good.
Yeah,
but I still have some kids that say they were sorry I did that. However, it happened at the time. And then I got into second grade, and mm-hmm. that's the love of my teaching career, and I stayed there for, I think, 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, before I ended on in the reading room, which also was delightful.
I enjoyed that,
too. Because then I had all the ages.
Sure.
And I enjoyed that.
So. Now, Peterson, how many students would you say you had in your biggest class in Peterson?
High 20s.
Okay.
Yeah, in second grade, mm-hmm. and that's tough.
That would be a lot. That'd be a handful.
Yeah.
And a lot of energy in that.
A lot of energy,
group.
And then they tell you the makeup of the classroom makes a difference too, because if it's 50-50 boys and girls, you have a prayer. But if it's more boys to girls, it becomes a different environment, because
sure.
boys have different energy and different ways of amusing
themselves.
Well,
and they grow and mature at different
levels
and rates. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. so, you know, they're not happy just sitting there reading a book, you know.
No.
So, but yeah, I mean, and they did their best to keep the size down, but
sometimes it was pretty big.
Yeah, I think so.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm sure lots of other teachers will remember more than I do about it.
So you've been retired now for a while.
About a dozen years.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. That's how fast time goes.
It does.
Next time I do this thing on KMXT, I'll be very old. I'm old enough now.
You never know. I might bring you in next year again.
Oh, yeah. That'd be good. That'll keep me true to my form.
All right. So, Dave worked at Terror Lake.
Dave worked everywhere. And then when he came to town, he got on with, for a while, Brecken for
mm-hmm,
a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then different things. And now he's he's still very part-time. If he works an hour a week right now, we're like, whoa, you did an hour this week. Because he still wants to keep his foot in the door. But he
sure.
was inspector for a company that,
works.
I don't know if it's Broslotsky or who it is.
Works out at the base or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, and it's
right.
good for him. I mean, if they need him for a few hours, he goes in. And if they don't need him, he stays home. And I'm just happy being retired. Totally retired.
Well, I bet.
Yeah.
Well, because you did, even when you were still working, but even after you retired, you were doing a lot of work with the Humane Society, too.
I still do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Humane Society was always a big love,
mm-hmm.
but I really didn't put in. I did some animal rescue
mm-hmm.
when I was teaching, but I really couldn't do more than that.
Yeah, because
and
teaching
then,
is
teaching
all-absorbing
your
job.
It,
yeah.
it really is.
Yeah.
It's your life.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I retired, I got on the board with the Humane Society.
And you were there for quite a while, weren't
And I'm
you?
Still there.
Are you still on the board?
I'm on the board. I'm just not an officer.
Ah.
First time in 12 years I'm not an officer.
There you go.
Yeah.
So should we play another tune?
I think we should. So so I was talking about all the stuff that I learned about music that I never would have listened to in New York. And so maybe the next song that you should play is Emmylou.
Okay. I love Emmylou. But you know what? I never listened to anything like that until I moved to Tok. So similar stuff.
So there you go.
There
were bluegrass bands there, I take it.
Lots of people who listen to
bluegrass
and
Alaska's always
American
been that
roots
way, right?
kind of music. I think so.
Yeah,
I
so it
so.
Kind of transitioned for me from Colorado. It would have been a rude awakening. You can ask Marsha Oswalt. I still play Jimmy and Janice in the classroom at Peterson.
Well, yeah.
Loud.
You still do.
At 6 in the morning.
Yashin's out there rocking out again.
She'd know it was a good day if she heard Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, there
at
we
6
go.
In the morning.
We'll have to ask Marcia next
yeah.
time we talk to
She'll
her.
She'll remember.
I'm sure she will.
She'll tell you I've matured because I haven't played Jimmy in a while.
That's only because you've been retired for 12 years, right?
Exactly.
She doesn't know what you play at home.
That's right.
In the greenhouse or whatever.
Or
All right,
wherever.
Here we go. Here's Emmylou. We'll get back in a minute.
Gonna keep you free and clean. Now you wear your skin like iron, your breath's as hard as kerosene. Weren't your mama's only boy? so the story ends were told. Poncho, need your prayers, it's true, but save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do, and now he's growing old. All the federal, they say, could have had him any day. We only let him slip away out of kindness, I suppose. You great.
Emmy Lou, Poncho and Lefty.
Yeah,
that's a great song.
That was definitely one we played on. I don't remember what we had back in the day. Cassettes?
Probably.
You know, that we made. We made our own tapes. And
right.
That was one of the songs that Dave and I remembered that we played a lot on that road trip.
You might have had, which road trip was this? Was this the 74?
No, this was the 77 one, because I didn't know him in 74.
Yeah, it was probably cassette tapes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because you couldn't really record. We had 8-track tapes then in that brief little window of those horrible tapes. But there really wasn't a way to record to them. You couldn't make your own mixtape, et cetera. So I'm sure it was cassettes.
Yeah, we made a number of mixtapes and lots of good bluegrass.
And then it was always a bummer when the tape
broke. When they broke. Really?
Or they stretched. Well, if they broke, you could tape them back together. But if they stretched way out, you know, remember how that...
Yeah, and then they might
not
wreck your machine, too, while they're at it.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody earlier today who... That was one of the first things that happened on their road trip. The tape deck ate...
Oh, that's bad.
Like, oh, no.
You know what? That's a bad sign.
Yeah, they stopped right there and got a new tape deck.
Well, the one thing I forgot to mention on that road trip was it started raining when we left Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And it rained. We did... I think we made that trip, Dave was saying, like 500, 600. We really did a lot of miles every day.
Yeah.
But we were beating flash floods. Like, roads were washing out behind us. Like, in Seattle, we're getting the, you know, this is...
Yikes.
It rained for a week. It was the worst road trip I've ever taken. And this, I know, anybody who's gone on the Alcan knows when it was dirt.
Yeah.
You let that rain for a few days, the shoulders are soft.
The shoulders
so
are soft, and the road wasn't great either.
So when those big semis come down, we got blown off the road, actually.
Did you?
We got blown off the road in our truck, towing a car, and so it took us hours to get out of the ditch because the road was so soft, we just slid right.
Yep.
Because those semis
roll.
Come down the middle and don't care.
Nope. They're out in the middle of nowhere.
They don't care.
Really don't give a hoot.
They're not going in the ditch.
Yeah.
That's a fact. So
you're lucky you didn't roll.
Yeah, we are lucky it didn't roll. That's the one big trial and tribulation I remember from that trip. But, you know, everything went smooth once we got here. It was just the trip was a little hairy.
Yeah. Well, we're glad you got here.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Got here safely.
And I didn't drive. I was not responsible for any of that.
So we are nearly at the end of our time.
Yes, we are.
So we should talk about whatever you want to wrap up with.
I think we should.
So
just,
what kept you here?
Oh, well, the teaching job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I
but you could have gotten another job somewhere else, and you could have gone off the island.
You know, I was always a country girl.
Mm-hmm.
You might not. I come from Long Island, New York. My parents came from a small town in Pennsylvania. Whenever we went to visit, I was sorry they moved. That's where I wanted to go back.
Yeah.
And I realized that things could be boring in small towns, and maybe I wouldn't have appreciated that, but I liked... how do I say this? I'm not an outdoor girl, but I like looking at it.
Okay.
Okay, you're not going to find
that
me camping
sense.
And hiking and fishing
but you
and
like
hunting,
to, you like to
but
be
you're going
to
find me
it.
Sitting out there watching it and loving it.
Okay.
And so so I always loved that, and so that's why I loved Saranac Lake, and that's what brought me to try and see what, you know, Colorado and Oregon... which I've not made it there except a couple times, but Dave and I are going to do a little more exploring. But Alaska just was so beautiful. And I felt, I don't know if other people have felt this, but I felt the people made their own rules within certain parameters. You didn't have to have that specific wedding that everybody had, or you were considered odd. You didn't have to dress this way and wash your car on Sunday.
Right.
So in other words, I felt like things were so restrictive.
Yeah.
And I felt like Alaska was, you could be who you wanted to be.
Pretty much.
That's what I felt.
You could even be this guy walking in the
door. And if Mike Wall could be who he wants to be, you know we got it going on.
I can't say what just went through my head.
No, because we're on the air.
Yes. You're restricted. You are restricted.
Yes, and we've loved it, and this is our home forever.
All right. So let's
go out on one song?
Yeah. You want to go out? What do you want to go out
on? I
want
to play the one Dave wanted to play because it was the one we both said, Grateful Dead Truckin'. That's
right.
The one that we played
there
on the cassette coming up.
Human, I hope you're listening.
I hope he is too.
On the cassette. That's right. Here's Truckin', Grateful Dead.
Truckin', got my chips cashed in. Keep truckin', like the doodah man. Together, more or less in line. Just keep truckin' on, on, on. Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all on the same street. A typical city involved in a typical daydream. Hang it up and see what tomorrow brings. Dallas, got a soft machine. Houston, too close to New Orleans. New York, got the ways and means. And just won't let you be. Speak of true love. Most of the time, crying at home. One of these days, they know they gotta get going. Out of the door and down to the street all alone. Chugging like the doodah man once told me you got to pay your hand. Sometimes the cards ain't worth a dime if you don't lay them down.
My thanks again to Karen Yashin, who was here in the last hour talking about her trips, multiple trips up here.